Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support of what we do here. Find us anytime on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. What is the scriptures communicating to us, the writers of both the Old and New Testament, what it makes reference to? Our daily bread. What exactly is daily bread? How is that to be understood in a biblical sort of way? We welcome back to the microphone a gentleman who's actually brought some daily baked goods, anyway, into the studio, our great friend Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com. Great to see you again, and thanks for the goodies. This is bountiful. This is plentiful. This will bless the whole office, I'm quite sure. Thank you for this.
Well, you're welcome. And I'm sure that the fat grams and the preservatives and the additives and the sugar will be well received by the staff here at KTIS today.
And your purchase of them is stimulative for the economy. So
there you go.
That's all very good.
Yeah.
Now, listen, seriously, on a more serious note, and we can have fun with this and love doing that. At your website, BibleandBusiness.com, you are so skilled with digging into the scriptures and really considering how the biblical truths apply to business and our need and our desire and our pursuit of making a living and these kinds of things. Where do you begin a discussion, Bill English, on this concept of our daily bread? We kind of rolls off the tongue. We take it for granted. It's in the Lord's Prayer. But where do you start as you begin to contemplate our daily bread?
You know, I start in Proverbs 30, verses 8 through 8 and 9, really, where it says, where the writer says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God." When you're a business owner, one of the things that you're doing is trying to create wealth. You're trying to create profit. You're trying to maximize the profits and the income and the revenue of the company, as you well know. And yet there has to be a kind of a throttle or governor here within us that the Holy Spirit just builds into us so that we don't really desire the riches. We don't desire to be poor, but we don't desire the riches either. And we just realize that whatever customers buy from us today, whatever sales we make today, that's our daily bread. And as a result, we can give that away. We can give away a good portion of our profits precisely because we know that it's just a daily thing. Wealth is a renewable resource, and God will bring to us the customers that he wants us to have for tomorrow.
Okay, now you're hitting on a whole plethora of very important issues. Bill English, by the way, with BibleandBusiness.com. He's in studio with us here at the Faith Radio Network. This notion that somehow I don't need the riches. And your point's well taken. What do you say to the person? And you're out speaking all over the country and speaking in churches and at the same time consulting to businesses. When a person says, "Well, therefore, Bill English, possessing riches, possessing wealth, building up a nest egg, that's obviously wrong." I don't think that's the case. When you speak to the wisdom of the scriptures that tells us we don't need the riches, that does not necessarily imply that being a rich person is bad altogether. How do you address that?
Well, having riches is something that God gives you as an entrustment to be used to further the kingdom and his glory. And so I may be the steward of, I don't know, $20 billion from mm-hmm. God. But even though in the American sense it might be mine, in the Christian sense it belongs to God, and I am simply a steward of that which he has given to me. And I need to realize that no matter what form those riches take, they are eventually going to leave my hand at some point in the future, whether through sale, liquidation, bankruptcy, or death.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just better steward them the way that God wants me to and be willing to hold them with an open hand be willing to give it away if that's what God wants me to do.
Yeah, very English. Very interesting. Bill English with BibleandBusiness.com. You said it in English, too. That was impressive.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
It's good. He's with BibleandBusiness.com. On the issue of, and you're referencing this, of course, in the context of business owners, but this is something you and I have talked about personally, and we got into this last week when you were here on our program, Bill, and that is the notion that there really is no scriptural or biblical precedent or biblical foundation for this concept that we kind of glibly talk about here in the U.S., and that is retirement.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just expected in the Old and New Testament. It's implied, and at times it's explicit, that one works until they can no longer work, and then family steps in and takes care of grandma and grandpa or what have you until that individual passes on. Can this notion of riches that you're getting at, and some of the frailties and vulnerabilities of possessing riches, can this sort of become problematic in the sense that maybe some of us are maybe leaning a little bit too much on the nest egg or the nest egg that we desire to retire to? In other words, we don't think of it as I'm the rich young ruler building up riches, but by golly, I better have more and more and more added to my pension from my employer or whatever it is, or things are just not going to be right in the world. What do you make of that? Do the principles, the vulnerabilities, the difficulties, the challenges of riches apply to retirement pensions?
And they're very deceptive. Because riches are fleeting, the Bible says. And look, in my personal experience, I have been in a position where I was swimming in cash. I had so much money, I didn't know what to do with it. And I've also been at the other end where I literally did not know how we were going to buy even food for dinner that evening. And so I understand what it's like to be in both situations. Look, depending on riches is deceptive precisely because they are temporary, they are fleeting, and they are something that is here today and gone tomorrow. God tells us to depend on Him, and He will provide for our needs.
Bill English, publisher of BibleandBusiness.com. He's with us in studio as we talk about our daily bread. Now, we'll continue with Bill in just a few moments. His website, by the way, just chock full of great ideas and great wisdom. And again, Bill, not only a very successful entrepreneur, but I would remind you, he holds an MDiv, Master of Divinity degree from a noted theological seminary. He is a theologian, I would say, in every sense of the world, and sort of marries the theology to business and economic matters. I like it. We'll continue with Bill, and we'll tell you more about the daily bread that he brought into the studio today. That and more just ahead. It's Austin Hill in the morning. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. It's 7:15.
Back to Austin Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
7:16. Thank you for being here on the Faith Radio Network. Coming up in just about 20 minutes from now, John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts, worldwide parenting experts, talking to us about what to do with children who yell, yelling issues in the home. We'll get to that coming up in just about 20 minutes. Bill English, entrepreneur, CEO of MindSharp. He's also the publisher of BibleandBusiness.com. He's in studio with us as we talk about our daily bread, the biblical concept of our daily bread. And Bill, I want to ask you, what do you say to the person or maybe about the person who has accumulated a lot of wealth? They are a person of means, shall we say. They've got lots of money, and they need to be good stewards of it, as you said earlier. What do you say about the possession of large sums of money?
Well, what I say is that a couple of things. First of all, they should hold it with an open hand and be stewarding it before the Lord, ready to use it the way the Lord wants them to. On a personal level, they shouldn't strive to live at the highest level of standard that they could. What I like to see business owners do, and frankly, this is a great way to figure out how to pay your pastor, too, by the way, Which
is a whole other topic that we should address another time. But
actually, it's the same exact conversation.
Big deal. You
do is you go to the city that you live in, and you go to the Census Bureau and find out what the average salary is there, and what the average home prices is, and that kind of stuff. And you live at that level. You just live at that level. In that way, you are not living. You're kind of living out a little bit that "give me neither poverty nor riches" element within Proverbs. Now, what you don't do is you say, "Well, the city I happen to live in is the one I'm moving to, and that's the 90210 zip code, right?"
Mm-hmm.
So you actually take the particular place that you're in right now, and you say that's where God has me, and if He moves me, that's fine. But I'm not going to upscale just because I can.
Right.
Instead, I live where I'm at, and if God gives me an abundance of resources, then actually they're there to further the kingdom and potentially further the community too.
You know, on the issue of what to pay the pastor and how do you set that and calibrate that, and many years ago, probably over 20 years ago now, my wife and I belonged to a particular church, and I wasn't on the elder board, but I was sort of on this advisory committee that was gathering input and data and advising the elders and such. And there was this investigation being launched. Well, is our pastor living, you know, too high on the hog, and is he, are we paying him too much, and gosh, the car that he's driving seems to be a little too fancy, and his clothes are a little too, and my wife and I ended up eventually leaving the church over that and a whole bunch of other issues, but I remember I was kind of caught off guard by a lot of this, you know, this inquisition of the pastor kind of stuff. It was very disturbing to me, the way our pastor, who I loved and appreciated very much, the way he was being treated. But I remember one gentleman on the board of elders, who really was a voice of reason at that time, he said, wait a minute, let's kind of took the approach that you're describing, Bill English. Let's figure out what kind of the median lifestyle, median income is in our area. But also, he raised this issue, what is appropriate for our pastor's station in life, the kinds of circles that he moves in, the kinds of people that he is ministering to. He needs to fit in on some level. We don't want him being among the wealthiest. We don't want him so impoverished or living such a low financial lifestyle, shall we say, that he doesn't fit into the very community that he's trying to minister to. There is a sense in which we need to fit in order to be effective, even for ministerial purposes, or at least so it would seem to me. What are your thoughts on that as a business person and as a person given to ministry?
I just don't see how that's any different for pastors and those who are not in the pastorate. I think it's the exact same discussion. Everything you've just said right there, Austin, about pastors could be applied to business owners, it could be applied to employees, it could be applied to everybody. But this is something that you do not force on people from the external. It has to come from the Holy Spirit leading them, and only those who are really walking well with the Lord are going to be sensitive enough to be willing to give up a significant portion of their wealth, because they know that they have something greater, and that is the person of Jesus Christ in their life.
Mm-hmm. Bill English, publisher of BibleAndBusiness.com. He's in studio with us here on the Faith Radio Network. Address this, if you would, for me. As a person
sure.
who's been to great heights and you've had businesses win, you've had them lose.
Sure.
You're a theologian.
Yep.
What do you say on the issue of, I'll describe it this way. I believe we live, especially right now here in the U.S., but worldwide, we live in a culture of envy. We live in a culture that is predisposed to not liking those who are monetarily successful. And we're surrounded by rhetoric that says, well, the rich people aren't, quote unquote, paying their fair share, whatever that means. The rich people need to exercise and live out austerity. The rich people are to blame for my lack of success or what have you. I get very unnerved, very fearful of a society that becomes too envious and jealous, I guess, of the wealthy people within it. What do you say about that?
Well, there's two sides to that coin. One is those who are jealous should not be jealous, because God simply hasn't entrusted them with the same amount of wealth that He's entrusted other people. But secondly, there's a whole lot of rich people who spend a whole lot of money on themselves needlessly, when they can instead be using that, in my estimation, in kingdom more productive ways than what they do. Now, look, I get the whole laissez-faire thing. I get the whole capitalism when a rich person rents a hotel room for $1,000 a night, they're helping to generate jobs that don't pay nearly as much. I get that whole thing. I get the whole thing. My thing is that if the rich came off as being people who are givers rather than grudgingly being willing to be taxed,
mm-hmm.
I think it would be different. And frankly, I think if the politicians would stop pitting groups, economic groups, against each other for the sake of political gain, that would do a whole lot to help our country heal. What we don't need are leaders who say the rich is bad and the poor are good, or the middle class is really where it's at, or however they want to say it. I'm really sick of politicians leveraging the emotions and the envy of people in order to get votes and to gain political power.
Mill English, check him out at BibleAndBusiness.com. Some great wisdom there. That's BibleAndBusiness.com. Bill, as always, great to see you. Thanks so much. Thanks for bringing some bread products in as we talk about our daily bread.
Well, you're welcome.
And we'll look forward to seeing you again soon. Have a great day. 7:25, you're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. What is the one issue? The one issue that Christians, at least in the United States, Christians don't want to talk about. What is that one issue? We'll tell you what that one issue is coming up next. Don't go away.
Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.